One of the greatest women in the church, her name was Saint Catherine of Siena. She was an Italian mystic, one of 25 children. How about that? 25 children. Also, she had the stigmata, which was invisible. And then when she died, it became visible. Whereas Padre Pio had the stigmata visible, when he died it became invisible. Saint Catherine Siena is famous for her literary work called The Dialogues, in which God the Father speaks to her. And she made this statement: the two most important moments in our life are now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I repeat, the two most important moments in our lives are, can you repeat it? Sounds like a prayer that we pray, huh? The Hail Mary. So today, the first reading, we have the death of the second most important figure in the Old Testament. And it is King David. So I'd like to talk today about the most important moment in our life. It is the moment we're going to die, and how we can prepare for a holy and happy death. In our library, we have some of the works of Saint Alphonsus, one of the most prolific writers in the Catholic Church, with Augustine. And Alphonsus wrote on basically everything. One of his literary masterpieces are Preparation for a Holy Death. So I'd like to give you five ways to prepare ourselves for the most important moment in our life. It's the moment that we're going to die. And the first point is this: we should live every day of our lives as if it were going to be the last. And it could be. Only God knows how long we're going to live. The Imitation of Christ by Thomas Kempis says, it's not important a long life, but a holy life. Amen? Yeah. To live each day as if it were the last day of our life. How many people here are a year older than last year? Do you feel it? Probably, right? Look in the mirror. There's a change, huh? None of us are getting any younger. And I've never seen the clock ticking counterclockwise. Have you? It's always clicking in one direction. So live each day as if it were to be the last day of your life. Now I'm going to quote one of my favorites, hopefully his, yours also, Saint Augustine. What I'm going to be quoting is very poetic. Imagine the Latin, though. Imagine the Latin. I'm going to give it in English. And it's this: he who prays well lives well. He who lives well dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Amen, huh? Can you repeat that? He who prays well lives well. He who lives well dies well. He who dies well, all is well. So if you want to die well, starting in these exercises, try to take your prayer life very seriously. Now the prayer experience that we're going through the next 5 weeks is very demanding. It's not for cowards. Or as they say in Spanish, gallinas. Okay? It's not for cowards, it's for Mel Gibson, the Braveheart. Okay? Those who are brave will persevere in this program because it's demanding. But if you persevere in prayer, even though it's 5 weeks, usually my program is 10 weeks, you're going to have a solid foundation in your spiritual life. Next point I'd like to make, in preparing ourselves for that very important moment, is learning how to die well in life. Now some of you are probably saying, what the heck does that mean, Father? That sounds somewhat contradictory or even paradoxical if you ask me, Father Broom. I was dying this afternoon at about 2:30. Because I was going to confession to another priest. Amen, huh? Do you know when you go to confession? You're dying. Dying to what? Hello? We're dying to sin. So we have to learn how to die constantly in our spiritual life. Those beautiful words I heard from my confessor, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if we want to die well physically, we have to get in the habit of making good confessions. Because confession is a dying to the old man. It's a dying to sin. That's why St. Augustine says that every time we go to confession, it's like a Lazarus experience. John chapter 11. What did Jesus do to Lazarus? Lazarus died. But Jesus there in Bethany drew close to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come out! And the man that was dead for 3 days came out of the tomb. He was risen. So by living a life, a sacramental life, which we approach the sacrament of confession frequently, we're dying to sin so that when we die physically, we'll live forever. Amen. So the fourth step About a year ago, I was teaching confirmation. As I have been for the past four decades. And I was teaching a group of about 25 boys. We're talking about this topic. We're talking about death. Young teenagers don't want to hear that topic, but they should, right? And I asked them, what would you like your last meal to be? One boy. Tacos. Another. Big Mac. Another one. Chuck E. Cheese. Nice pizza. Another. Black Angus. Sirloin steak. But there were some in the class that said, I like my last meal to be Holy Communion. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The person that said that was me. The boys kind of looked at me, hey, not bad, Father, huh? What would you like your last meal to be? A nice egg roll? Mm-hmm. Or a pizza? I hope that my last meal will be what we're going to be receiving in a few minutes. And that will be the body, the blood, the soul, divinity of Jesus Christ. If that's your last meal, this is the whole focus of my Spanish radio program today at 1 o'clock, is that Jesus says very clearly, I am the bread of life, in John chapter 6. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have, can you finish it? Everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. There is an American proverb. I don't know if they say it in Vietnamese, but the American proverb goes like this. You become what you eat. You become what you eat. If you eat poorly, have bad eating habits, you're probably going to get sick and have medical complications. But what happens if you're going to be eating the body and blood of Jesus Christ every day? Your soul is going to be as strong as Samson. And be able to kill the lions and the bears and the polar bears, huh? In the spiritual life. Maybe because I'm naive, but how could a Catholic priest be celebrating the Mass and this church not be packed? I never understood that. Even the most humble priest in the world celebrating the Mass, this church should be packed to the gills. Maybe I'm naive, but I've never really understood if you got millions and millions of Catholics in Los Angeles, in Orange County, how could anyone be aware of the fact there's a Mass be celebrating and not come? And the reason why is Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And the hearts of many will grow cold. What would happen if I told the people of Westminster at 3 o'clock in the morning, anyone who would come to shake my hand, I would give $5 billion. Would you come? Would your uncle come? Would your mother-in-law come? Would your Uncle Pete come? Would your Aunt Sally come? Hello? Of course. Of course. But one Mass and one Holy Communion is worth more than the whole created universe. Do you believe it? Any Catholics here tonight? Are there any Catholics here tonight? Oh, there are, okay. I was wondering, okay? Because one communion, Holy Communion, who is that? Hello? Who's Jesus? He's the Son of the Living God. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, don't call yourself Catholic. Call yourself a Jehovah's Witness, huh? Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So if we want to die well, we have to have hunger. Hunger for the bread of life. You know, one of my favorite psalms, or verses from one of the psalms, is the following. I like poetry. Psalms are biblical, mystical poetry. And it's this. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Como el siervo anhela las aguas corrientes, así mi alma tiene sed de ti, Dios mío. Almost sounds better in Spanish, huh? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So try to imagine a deer that's walking through maybe the Sahara Desert, or maybe the desert there in in Africa, or maybe the desert in Arizona, closer to us. And the deer is traveling through the desert in the middle of August. Finally, as the sun goes down, the deer arrives at a forest. In the forest, there's a running stream of fresh, pure, cool water. What do you think that deer is going to do? Probably just launch himself into that stream and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. Because that poor animal was almost dying of thirst. So should you be thirsting for Holy Communion tonight. And so should the people of Westminster be hungering and thirst for Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus Christ can satisfy the deepest yearnings of the human heart. As Augustine says, O Lord, you have made our hearts for thee. Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. The restless hearts. The restless heart can only find his true repose in the heart of Christ. In the heart of Christ is present in the Mass, in the Eucharist. So I've arrived at the last point. I promise you 5 points, and this is the fifth. We want to have a holy death. Get to know Mary. Love Mary. Pray to Mary. Consecrate yourself to Mary. You know, when I was driving here from Wine Gardens, I was preparing myself to die when I was coming here in the car. I really was. I was preparing myself to die. As we spent our 20 minutes in the car from Wine Gardens to Westminster. And when I prayed, four of us all together, I prepared myself for death 50 times. 50 times I prepared myself for death in 20 minutes. Because I said, the prayer that Mary loves most, and it is, Holy Mary. Holy Mary. Mother of God. Pray for us sinners. Now, you've heard that prayer, haven't you? Have you ever prayed it? Pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So every time we pray the Hail Mary, we're preparing ourselves for that most important moment in our life. It's a moment that we will die. When you die, there's a good chance, possibility, that the devil will be present at your bedside. Not to scare you, but that's the way it is. The devil is going to be present there. But if you say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death, what's the devil going to do? Terrorized, filled with panic and fear, the devil is going to escape because the devil cannot stand to be in the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I hope that you've been paying attention to my homily, given free of charge, huh? And I honestly believe if you put into practice the homily of Father Broom, this is living out principle and foundation that you meditate upon every day this week. And the whole thrust of principle and foundation is we are created for one purpose, to get to heaven. So let's pray that we live holy lives, so that we have holy deaths, so that we can rest forever in heaven. Amen.